Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Monday morning. The championship games are set, and the four best teams during the regular season, all the home teams, got it done on divisional playoff weekend in the NFL. Some blowouts, some close games, some nail biters, but here we are, the four teams that I thought were operating on a different level mid-season found their ways into the championship games, even with some scares towards the end of the seasons. But you've got it in the AFC. You've got the Chiefs and the Patriots and the Saints and the Rams in the NFC. And the story really yesterday in the AFC was that the New England Patriots just showed everybody that they will decide when they're done. We will not decide when they're done, as they put a whooping on the Chargers, an embarrassment for that LA Chargers defense. Just gross. And then the NFC, it took one hell of an effort from the Saints to come back and finally knock out the Philadelphia Eagles, as that was a classic game that ended with that pass that went right through Alshon Jeffrey's hands and that interception. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. It's for CBS. It's Mahomes and Brady. It's Belichick and Reed. I mean, it doesn't really get much better than that. And really, the thing is tilted in the favor of Kansas City, because obviously it's at Arrowhead Stadium. And it's going to be a wild scene, man. It will be a wild scene. It will be a great scene for us. We have a late game on Sunday. Can't wait to get to Sunday to see what this thing is going to look like, because you had two teams that really their quarterbacks just played out of this world over this weekend. And, you know, Brady, I think, and I was looking at some of the numbers, he was either 29 of 36 or 28 of 35 at pass attempts, 10 yards or less. And, you know, to have that sort of, like, and you hear this word a lot, patience just to be able to nickel and dime a team, and then have your players like Julian Edelman or Chris Hogan or James White or even Sony Michel yesterday just, like, make guys miss, the extra effort to get the key first down, to keep the drives moving. And then on the other side, Phillip Rivers, you know, third and eight, third and nine, can't complete a pass. You know, he's under pressure from a team that doesn't get a lot of sacks but does obviously force – quarterbacks into mistakes. I mean, that's kind of where the game was lost in the first half. It was a surgical. It was a PhD level offense. You know, the week before they played against, you know, a young rookie quarterback that was one dimensional in Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. So it was all about stopping his spectacular plays, you know, coming through the line of scrimmage, running the ball. So the seven defensive backs that Gus Bradley employed seemed to work. Mm-hmm. And it was great. And everybody was talking about how fantastic it was, and Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. But what people tend to forget is just how precise Josh McDaniels' offense is up there in New England and how accurate Brady is.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised that the Patriots out-schemed the Chargers. I'm not surprised that they came in with a game plan on both sides of the ball that muted them. What I am surprised about is that the Patriots pushed around the Chargers defense for four quarters. And I'm talking about running the football. And that, to me, opened everything up, of course. But the fact that that Patriots offensive line was moving people, you didn't see Bosa and Ingram get a sniff of Tom Brady. Those two guys, I based my whole opinion on this game based on those two guys being able to get to Tom Brady without the Chargers blitzing, and neither one of them did. And also, that zone defense, and the reason why this one was eating at me while I'm watching this game, because I did pick the Chargers, is the fact that I saw that 10 million times when I was in Pittsburgh, where the Steelers thought that if they played their regular zone scheme against the Patriots, they'd be able to be okay. And you play off the
receivers, and you'll do this, you'll do that. We'll confuse them with coverages. We'll send guys from it doesn't work. And the fact that Gus Bradley and the Chargers didn't know that going into the game, and then when they scored touchdowns on every single drive, didn't make a single adjustment, was mind-numbing to me, and they didn't deserve to be playing in a championship game.
They did make an adjustment. They got out of their seven defensive backs, and they brought in the linebackers, but the linebackers are undersized, and then they ended up getting steamrolled with the running game. Remember, the one thing I think that we saw over this weekend is that at the end of the day, you still have to run the football, and you have to excel at it if you want to get to this level of the NFL. And all four teams that are left actually did that this weekend. I mean, the Rams with a reborn C.J. Anderson, it looks like he ate the previous C.J. Anderson.
I know.
All of a sudden run for 275 yards against the Dallas defense that basically was steamrolled by their offensive line. I mean, it just goes to show you how important it is to run the football. The Patriots always start every year by running the football, getting running backs in there that are big, that are strong. Hey, they spent a first-round draft choice on Sonny Michel, and he's paying dividends. So it goes to show you how important that part of the game is and still is and will always remain the important part of the game. Every coach you ever talk to, and I was trying to say this about Cliff Kingsbury yesterday, in the NFL, pass protection is paramount. And understanding pass protection and how it all molds together with your five offensive linemen, your potential tight ends, your fullbacks, your halfbacks, that is not an easy thing to grasp a handle on because defenses do a lot of different things to you. Secondly is, the precision between the quarterback and the wide receivers, especially in the short passing game, and to have the patience to stay with it. I mean, think about it. He attempted 36 passes of 10 yards or less.
Yep.
I mean, and then, all of a sudden, you're running the ball effectively, you're throwing those wide receiver screens, the little slant patterns, now comes the play action.
Yeah.
And now, all of a sudden, the opposing defense is more aggressive, and in behind is Edelman, in behind is, Gronk, in behind is Hogan, and they hold on to the ball. They very rarely fumble it. They make the extra play, and then, of course, when you muff a fumble, punt, And the Patriots recovered. Forget it. Game over, man.
Yeah,
game was over.
Right, yeah. And I felt like the game was over before that. That definitely sealed it. And this was the best game that the Patriots played all year. I mean, this was, considering the opponent, this is the best game the Patriots played all year. They saved it for their first playoff game. And, yeah, a lot of people were talking about how they were done. They looked different. And especially when you had Josh Gordon no longer with the team. All right, you're minus a weapon there. How are they going to be able to get through this in a tough AFC? And they blew out the Chargers. Now, it's going to be a different story going up to Kansas City, and the struggles that the Patriots have been on the road this year, and this is going to be a matchup where they're not going to be rolling over anybody. But, I mean, you should never be surprised by them, but they had put so much out there this year that looked like they were missing something, that you thought if a really good team like the Chargers went up there to play them, that they could get them. And get them wasn't even close. I mean, this was a flat-out blowout. You could talk to me about, a couple of touchdowns at the end for the Chargers. I mean, this was a full-out blowout by the Patriots. And I just wonder, is that the same team we'll see on the road now against an offensive team that you can't count out of any game with Patrick Mahomes? And they took care of business. And by the way, we could talk all we want about that Chiefs offense. They deserve every word. That Chiefs defense at Arrowhead is a different defense, and they were able to completely suffocate what the Indianapolis Colts were doing. So are we going to look at the Chiefs defense going into this matchup as one that's vulnerable or one that is an asset for them?
Well, it's the Arrowhead defense, and they'll play man coverage. They will play. Bob Sutton will play man coverage. It's one of the problems going back and looking at the tape of that game between Indianapolis and Kansas City. Indianapolis' receivers could not get open. Could not get open. And, Andrew Luck had very small windows. And quite frankly, you got the pass rush. You got a bigger, physically a bigger team than LA, the Chargers are. So it's going to be a much more difficult game for the Patriots offensively and defensively. And defensively, really, because, let's face it, we all have watched in just absolute amazement some of the things that Patrick Mahomes has done this year. Mm-hmm. And he'll make 10 or 15 just out-of-the-box plays that you can't defend. It doesn't matter. You could be hanging on him. You could be running. His tight end could be on the numbers on the left, and he'll hit his tight end on the numbers to the right, outside of the numbers to the left where he's standing. I mean, he'll make that kind of throw. So Phillip Rivers is limited in his types of throws that he can make and his arm strength. And I think we saw that a little bit yesterday. That will not be the case with Patrick Mahomes. So this is the great Bill Belichick and his defensive schemes, his understanding, Josh McDaniels, his offensive schemes against Andy Reid and Bob Sutton. And if you ask me, you couldn't ask for a better coaching matchup in a game of this magnitude, especially where the game's going to be played, because I think that's the advantage that Kansas City needs to win this game.
Yeah, and they needed to get that monkey off their back in the divisional round, win that home playoff game, and do it in convincing fashion. I mean, the Chiefs, you know, look like the Chiefs in that game. This wasn't a, we're going to choke this one away because we're an Andy Reid-led team at home in the playoffs because they can't win at Arrowhead. So they got that out of the way. They can forget about that whole thing for a week. And you've got now in the two head coaches a guy who's known for always getting it done and a guy who's known for never getting it done. I mean, that's going to be the story.
It's kind of like Brady and Rivers, right?
Yeah,
a guy that's always known to get it done, and the other guy that can. And I know it was a frustrating day for Phillip Rivers yesterday. No, on behalf of that Eagles and that Saints game, I know they were talking about how Sean Payton went for it on 4th and 1 with the fake punt and all that stuff, and how that changed the tide of the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what changed the tide of the game. What changed the tide of the game was the Foles interception prior to that.
Yep.
The game completely flipped. They're up 14-0. They're driving, and he just underthrows Zach Ertz, and it was a good interception for New Orleans, and that's where that whole thing just flipped. The whole game, like the whole momentum and the vibe and the fans got into it. And then, of course, on that next offensive drive, he goes for it on 4th and 1, and they make it, from the punt formation. But if you ask me, it was the interception, and that's why I was saying, Nick has been great. It just don't throw the interception in that building because, the guys on the other side will make you pay for that. And to me, that's where that whole thing kind of changed. And then it changed again late in the fourth quarter when the Eagles got the ball back after stuffing that offense of the Saints. And then, of course, Alshon Jeffrey just doesn't catch a ball that's perfectly thrown. But this Nick Foles thing in the offseason is going to be really fascinating.
Yeah,
fascinating.
And I think most people thought after the missed 52-yard field goal by Will Lutz that this was going to be another one of those games. Like, here comes Nick Foles, and they're down 6. It was just setting up perfectly for them to go and win the game. And I think maybe if Alshon Jeffrey hangs on there, you still might have seen Nick Foles go and do it. So it wasn't like it was Nick Foles who kept them out of the championship game. It really was a drop by Alshon Jeffrey. And everybody says when something like that happens to a player, how do they react in the post game? And Alshon Jeffrey answered a million questions about it. I mean, I do think it's easier to face the music a year after you're a Super Bowl champion, and then this happens to you in a game where you're an 8-point underdog. It ends for the Eagles. And quite frankly, I mean, the Saints deserve to be in the championship game. They deserve to host it. They've been the best team all year. And they're going to get a Rams team that, I mean, there should be some fireworks in that game. And the one thing I'll say, we talked about Dennis Allen, potentially being a head coach again in the NFL, the Saints defensive coordinator. The thing I'll say about him that's the most impressive is he doesn't let his defense fall off a cliff. Like, whether it's the beginning of the season last year where they were horrendous and then he figured it out, or this year where they started the season, they were horrendous. Remember, they lost to Tampa Bay and Ryan Fitzpatrick in week 1 in their building. Then they figured it out. And then the beginning of this game where they're down 14-0 and Nick Foles and the Eagles are doing whatever they want and they figured it out. I mean, that right there, I think that in-game adjustment thing that you do that ends up working for you is so important. And the Saints were able to do that. And it's easier for them to do it in their own building, that's for sure, because they're so comfortable there. But that's going to be one hell of a matchup in the NFC Championship game, because especially now that Todd Gurley is looking like Todd Gurley again, and that team feels complete in LA with the Rams.
Well, all I can tell you is that going to New Orleans, that will be an epic battle. That will be epic. Because, Drew Brees was great yesterday again. Michael Thomas is, like, unstoppable.
Yeah, I know.
He is completely, like, overwhelming defensive backs. Like, when they see him, for some reason, they just do not want to get up on top of him. They just not want to, close the gap, as they say, as defensive backs like to talk about. It's easy to say, to try to do it and say to do it. And then when you go to do it, he goes running past you. So it is like, it's a pick your poison with that guy, but 12 receptions, 171 yards. and a touchdown. And when they needed a play, guess who they looked to? They looked to him. And he made play after play after play. So they lose Sheldon Rankins, by the way, on their defensive line. He had 8 sacks for them, a really good run defender. He tore his Achilles. It looks like he's out for the playoffs, the rest of the playoffs. And that is a huge, huge loss for the Saints on the defensive line.
Right, and I think that the Saints defense will win them a Super Bowl more than their offense will, because I feel like their offense, you know what you're going to get from them. It's the if the defense can play at that high of a level after 14-0 like they did yesterday against the Eagles, they're going to be an impossible out, especially in the NFC title game. So if you think about the Super Bowl, and yeah, it's a little self-serving that we'll talk about this because it's a CBS Super Bowl, but can you find a bad matchup?
Nope.
Any four of the combinations will be a great matchup on paper. Now, you never know on paper, but it's really that lead up to the game that's so important. Like last year, we thought we had a bad matchup because, you know, the Patriots were a heavy favorite, and here's Nick Foles, and the magic was going to end, and it ended up being a great game. But any permutation of these four teams in the Super Bowl should end up being a tremendous matchup for people that are watching that game, which is just about everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.